anymore. I feel like all I do is work and work and work. I work every day. Every day, you guys. Every day. Double shift. I go to one job in the morning and the other job at night while my kids miss me. While my 12-year-old gotta watch my 2-year-old, right? I'm tired. I'm so tired. I'm tired of being alone. I'm tired of motherfuckers making me do shit by myself, okay? I'm with a nigga that don't do nothing for me. I'm tired. I just wanna go home.
That young lady ended up committing suicide. I just want to demonstrate to you what's going on in these streets. What's going on online. And I said this last episode. People are going into the comment sections. People are making videos. And not going to the Creator. Not going to the Torah. Not being awakened to the Father. And y'all don't know how lucky y'all are to be in the situation that you're in. Knowing the truth. Truth of the Torah. Truth of Yahuwah. Truth of his feast days, truth of his set apart days. Y'all just don't know how lucky y'all are. Truly blessed and lucky. I don't get it. Yes, scripture says that we should confess our sins to one another. People are pouring out their heart to Wi-Fi, pouring out their soul to Wi-Fi and getting nowhere with it. Now, you could tell by her words. You can already guess the demographic. You can guess the demographic. And no sense of accountability came into her mind. And this is the times we are in. And everything is proceeding faster and faster. And it's going to be more oppression, as it's mentioned in the chapter 2 Baruch 27. Most High Yahuwah blessed us with the prophecy of everything being intermingled with one another when it came to oppression, stealing, attack of demonic ruachs, the fall of the great ones, the fall of many by death, the fall of fire. He told us a timeline that the world, the end times, is cut up in 12 parts. And we already in the last part of it. 11 parts have passed away. And now we're witnessing the last little bit of it. And we haven't even gotten to the Antichrist. We haven't even gotten to the force marks. We haven't even gotten to people's heads being chopped off. And then we haven't even gotten to the Most High Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, coming through with 144,000 men, boys who have been redeemed from the earth. We haven't even seen that yet. And people are already falling apart. This is where accountability, generational curses come into play. It's sad that the Most High didn't choose her to awaken her up out of this fog. She's complaining about a man that didn't do nothing for her because she didn't choose the right man. She has a 12-year-old and then she has a 2-year-old. So that tells me she got two baby daddies. She didn't learn the lesson from the first one, and she definitely didn't learn a lesson from the second one. I guarantee you that her image of what relationships was supposed to be is based on what Megan Thee Stallion said, what Cardi B said, what K. Michelle said, what the television said, what these platforms said, what their celebrities said, who are controlled by Jews, what they said or what they want to implement as far as the Talmud destroying what they believe, we being the Gentiles. Y'all, I mean, I'm not saying y'all, but they don't get it. They truly will never get it. And that's sad. Now she has to answer for that judgment of abandoning her children, which funny to me, it says that in Enoch, that the women who bring in babes will not give them suck, will forsake them, forsake the children of their arms. It says this in Enoch. And this is what the time is. She chose to leave this life and then leave her children naked and bare with a man who don't do nothing. Now you think that man's going to take care, if he didn't do nothing for her, you think he's going to do anything for his stepchild and the one he has now with her by himself? this is why the Most High is so hard on women and tell women to come under a righteous man. This is why there's so many scriptures aimed at men either being wise, being smart, being purged, being strong. It's so many images and witnesses and testimonies of scriptures of how men should be. So women know how to cleave to that man and stop cleaving to the images that are set up over them. Stop cleaving to the victimhood online. Stop cleaving to all these depressing stories that women share about their relationships with men and men who have not been awakened by the Most High Yahuwah. I noticed online that they have stopped talking about the men who call themselves Hebrew Israelites. That faded away really quick. They talked about, oh, we're coming out of the cult. Those type of women, they were frustrated because they thought it was going to be like some new movement or something, and they didn't have the ruach to be obedient or to be ordered by the Torah. So they left it and said they were leaving a cult because it forced them to leave this world alone. It forced them to change their dietary habits, which plays a lot in your brain. If you eat animals which are unclean, parasites are in those animals because those animals eat the crap from the ground. So if the parasites are in the food or in the animal that the animal can carry, then those parasites get in you. Then those parasites get in your brain. Then you have unclean men who eat the same unclean crap as you. Then his semen, his blood goes into you. That affects your whole mentality and your emotional state. It is deeper than when the Most High said, just don't eat it. It's almost we're stupid as a people that we need more reason why not to eat it. Well, I don't know. Everybody else is eating it. This is what we do as a people. When we are told not to do something, we go to the other nations and watch them do it and say, well, they doing it. Why can't we do it too? This has always been our Achilles heel. Always. And this is why we continually be destroyed, even destroyed by ourselves. Most High told us what not to eat, but we keep doing it because we don't understand what goes on beyond that veil. We don't know what ruach of demon is controlled by, what food, what parasite, what energy. We don't know. So this is why he told us straight up, don't do it. It's obviously that it don't work because he told the woman and the man in the garden, don't eat of this fruit. Don't eat of this knowledge. He put it there to test the obedience. That's the one law. That's one Torah. Now we have 613 different type of laws, statutes, ordinances, and commandments. Why? Because they couldn't do one. So he knew exactly what he was going to be dealing with. They couldn't follow one commandment. So I know they're not going to follow all the ones I have laid out for them. The ones that have saved their lives. And he didn't have to tell me. All he had to tell him was like, look, you eat of this, you're going to die. That's it. And I wondered if he explained a little bit more, would they have still done it? But the Most High is so pure and righteous in his word. And the fact that Adam knew they were created by this creator and Eve knew that Chua knew that she was created by this creator, that should have been well enough, good enough to just listen to his words and leave it alone. We need extra translations. We need extra understanding to not do something. Leviticus 10, I'm gonna piggyback on what I was talking about in the previous episode when I was talking about pureness. And Yahuwah spoke unto El Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of the assembly. Lest ye die, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Whew. That's it. He don't need, no other explanation needs to happen. Other than, don't do it. You do it, you'll die. And this is a statute throughout our entire generation. So even when he brings the tabernacle and the assembly and the temple back, it'll be the same thing. No one's going to go in there drinking wine or strong drink. No one's going to go into there drunk, nice, or twisted, or inebriated. No one. And this is for, the Levite sons or the descendants of the Levites that will be raised back up again. Because the Most High Yahuwah is coming down to this earth to tabernacle with us. Yahusha is coming down to earth to tabernacle with us. We are preparing, or we should be preparing, for a feast, a wedding feast, a marriage. So in order for us to do that, we must remain pure, free from idolatry, free from disobedience. We're truly waiting with our gown on, metaphorically waiting with our gown on, staying loyal, not cheating, for us to be accepted at the altar. So you just imagine somebody slipped up and had like a little glass of wine of the Levites and just try to walk up in there and got struck down. I mean, we see what happened, what David was so upset about when the Most High Yahuwah said, I do not want anyone touching the ark when it's in its resting place. So when it was traveling, an ox slipped, the thing shook, a man tried to keep it from falling, and he got struck down dead. The Most High told him, don't want anybody touching it. So imagine you walking alongside this carriage and you love the Most High with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your ruach. And you want to save the ark from falling down and you accidentally touch it and you die for this. And then you stand in judgment. He said, I told you not to touch it. And your explanation would be, well, because I didn't want it to fall. Now, that's between him and Most High if he was ever going to forgive him for that moment. But the Most High's words are true. If he didn't do that and he caught it, it would make it seem that the Most High's words were to no effect. So the pureness the Most High wants us to be will be no effect if it would be no effect if he didn't mean it. He wants us to be pure. He wants us to be clean. He wants us to be righteous. This is the only way we're going to be ever accepted to him. And that ye may put difference between holy and unholy and between unclean and clean. This is what we struggle with. And we should stop struggling with it. You look at whatever you are investigating and reason with yourself and say, is this clean or unholy? Is what I'm doing or about to do, is it clean or unholy? Or is it holy? Simple. Women, when you're testing these man's ruach, see for yourself, is his life clean or unclean? Is he holy or unholy? Now, you could be as strict as you want to be, but it's truly the Most High's ruach that's going to set you straight and to tell you this man wants to cover you. This man is yearning and learning or thirsting for the righteousness to be able to cover you, to be able to walk with you. And that ye may teach the children of Yashareel all the statutes which Yahuwah has spoken unto them by the hand of Moshe. The wise man, Proverbs 24, 5 through 18. A wise man is strong, yeah, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you shall make your war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He opens not his mouth in the gate. He that devises to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. The thought of foolishness is sin. Even to think of it. And I know all of us are guilty about thinking about foolishness. That's how you really try your mind, your own mind. You know, once it enters your brain, and sometimes it's not by your fault, it's just the unclean life that we've lived. The unholy life that we lived. I said this before, that our sins are like the ESPN top 10. And it usually comes when we are confused, puzzled, or frustrated with something. This is how some of you young men are with lust. You're on the right track. You have one little snare. You have one little stumbling block. You have one little step back. And then all of a sudden, here come the top 10, your greatest sinful moments. And then you reason with yourself, well, maybe if I do this sin, I can get ready to come right back and repent. He didn't destroy me for this, so maybe he won't destroy me for this time. Like the serpent was subtle with Eve or Chua, our sins, our thoughts become subtle to us. It doesn't become fire and brimstone. Like when we walk in the commandments, when we walk in the Torah, that fire and brimstone be burning when we are in a float state with the Most High Yahuwah. We reject anything unclean and unholy. But soon as we are frustrated because of this walk, confused because of this walk, we start to let our thoughts speak subtly to us. And we start to veer off over time. Our flesh starts to bubble up. We start to set in motion sin. Just as David, I'm going to talk about that later. Just as David did the same thing with Bathsheba. His thoughts became sin, became foolishness. 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 11. And Yahuwah sent Nathan unto El David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the one poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him. And with his children it did eat of his own meat, and drink of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as Yahuwah lives, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to El David, you are the man. Thus says Yahuwah Elohai of Yasharel, I anoint you king over Yasharel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Shaul, and I gave you your Adonai's house and your Adonai's women into your bosom, and gave you the house of Yasharel and of Yehuda. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given you such and such things. Wherefore have you despised the commandment of Yahuwah to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and have taken his woman to be your woman, and have slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the woman of Uriah the Hittite to be your woman. Thus says Yahuwah, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your women before your eyes and give them unto your neighbor, and he shall lie with your women in the sight of this son. Now, I remember I told you about how the Most High, especially with us, because we're not kings, we're not ruling over Yashrael, we're not ruling over Yehuda. He deals with us privately. Even when our sins become public, he deals with us privately. He instructs us privately. He corrects us privately. But when it came to the man after his own heart, and everybody knew David was a man after Yah's own heart, he admonished him, or he corrected him openly, publicly, because what he did in secret. And this is the thought of foolishness, the thought of lust, and that's exactly where it leads you. Now, I guarantee you, David knew that taking Uriah's woman would be a sin. The thought was, let me see if I can move around this. Let me see how smart I am. I can move around me doing it, and I can just say, oh, the children of Ammon did it because this is war. I'll move them to the front lines where I know people die. And the thing is, the Most High allowed it to happen. The Most High could have known what David was going to do, but this is all for a testimony. This is all for a witness for us to understand. We won't get away with trying to sneak and be secret with our sins, with our thoughts, because they eventually will manifest themselves, and we think we won't have any hands to do it if we have somebody else do it. It's almost like, oh, if a woman fell into your arms drunk and her blouse popped open and, you know, she took your hand and put it down there, and you'd be like, oh, this ain't a sin to me. This is how she was acting. A lot of us will go through these type of situations where we think, oh, it's not our fault. This had to happen. But by that time, your mind has already been working to that lust, drawing it to you. Just like David drew destruction to him. And I said this before, when you men aren't ruling your households well, the Most High, for sure enough, will raise up another man to take your spot, and then you'll watch your women, your children, be raised by a holier and more righteous man. So this coming to me talking about you suffering with lust, when you have children, when you have wives, that is dangerous. You've heard brothers on this show before with the testimony of already getting ready to be removed from their household through illness, through an act of the Most High Yahuwah, and then bringing in another man that's going to raise your child, another man that's going to raise up and educate your child and your children, your daughters, that's going to love your woman. Is that what y'all want? You want another man ruling the house that you built, the hedge that you provided for, all because you lost it over lust? You lusted off of another woman? You lost it over drugs? You lost it over porn? That's what you're telling me? That you're willing to let your woman be loved, her ruach be soothed, her soul be ignited by another man because you can't stop watching what your enemy has oppressed you with? That's why I said you must shred everything down in this world and know who it belongs to. If you want to shred the porn industry down, look who owns and runs the porn industry. So when you get ready to goon and you get ready to watch it, know that that's your enemy behind it laughing at you. The same enemy that's going around telling people that they are the true children of the book. They sit around and laugh at you every time you go searching. And even if you think, oh, I'm never going to watch porn again, but you go to platforms where you know porn is going to be. Like going to Twitter or X, you know eventually, the more you scroll, the more you change your algorithm, if you see an attractive woman, eventually more attractive women going to appear on that timeline. You know this. And you're like, oh, I'm strong enough just to look at an attractive woman that's not clothed. You're like, I'm strong enough. But over time, your algorithm changes. And then it'll slip in somebody who's topless. It'll slip in somebody who's just showing their backside with no underwear on. I'm telling you, I've seen it myself. It's happened to me before. Now my flesh is completely dead. Well, it doesn't affect me as it used to. Because I know that's the enemy working. The enemy's working to try to make it subtle so I can swallow it and don't see it as being unclean and unholy. But the Most High said in verse 8 that I gave you your Adonai's house and your Adonai's women. He said, if that was too little for you, I will give you much more just through obedience. It's the same thing with us, men. If we feel like we are not being satisfied sexually, and we go not to the Father, because he understands our cause, he understands our flesh, he will give us much more understanding with his ruach and say, okay, the reason why you are too hot and bothered is because of the life you lived watching porn. Now, the woman I gave you is going to be enough for you because I'm going to put you to work just like he put David to work. Now, he put David to work in a different way because he answered the Most High's commandments and obedience with a skillful or secret death of Uriyahu. So then Bloodshed is what he has to save himself from every single time, in his house and out of his house. All you gotta do is read Psalms to know how much that weighed on him. But for us, when he puts us to work, it's to help us be clean. It's help us to be holy. That's what it helps us to do. That's when he gives us these statues of the Shabbat, offering two lambs every single week. Because we know that our minds cannot be connected to this world if we're serving the Most High Yahuwah. That's why he gave us these ordinances, these statutes. This is something for you women to understand too. If you are looking for a man, ask this man, how does he serve the Most High Yahuwah? If he tell you he just going to church and he drop a couple of dollars in the collection plate, go ahead and move on. Go ahead and move on. Because when a man is truly in the fear of the Most High Yahuwah and he's actually serving him through these commandments and these ordinances, his mind is connected to the Father, where he does not want for his offering to be rejected. The money from his pocket not to go to waste. So he's going to try to remain pure, remain clean, remain holy. And that trickles down to you and the way he treats you. So he can't be running off from watching porn. He can't be running off to the strip club. He can't be running off to the bars. Because he know in 3 or 4 days, as fast as these days are going, in 3 or 4 days, he know he got to prepare his mind to offer. And he has to think, will the Most High accept me if I was being unholy for 2 days before I offered to him? That's why I sound like a broken record when it comes to offerings and ascending smoke offerings. I'm trying to get you men to satisfy this lust that you have with you, because you have too much time on those phones. You have too much time online and not enough time thinking, how can I pick the perfect meat from the perfect butcher shop to offer upon my perfect altar using the perfect stones to Yahuwah? If you're thinking about serving the Creator, you will stop thinking about other women, naked women, porn, and other stuff that y'all watch. You wouldn't be having your phones in your hands all the time if you were worried more about the Most High Yahuwah. Now he told him, now therefore, in verse 10, now for the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me. He said, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house. It wasn't Satan that raised up evil. It wasn't these demonic ruachs, these disembodied ruachs of the Nephilim and the Rephaim. It was the Most High Yahuwah who's going to raise them up, who's going to control the darkness and the light. Then he says in 12 through 16, for you did secretly, but I would do this thing before all Yahshua and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against Yahuwah. And Nathan said unto El David, Yahuwah also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Howbeit, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of Yahuwah to blaspheme. So the Most High's word has to be pure. It has to be of effect. Because obviously what David did, it would echo. It would say that, oh, this the Most High will allow David to break his commandment and take somebody else's wife through death of her man. It would make it seem like the Most High is of no effect. So it would make no fear of the other nations because of what David did. The Most High is thinking about his name first, his word, regardless of who it is. This is why he says there is no respect of persons with the Most High. Because it's not just the Most High who has to make his word of effect. It's the fallen angels. It's the angels around. It's the demonic rules. It's everything has to be in order because of the Most High's word. It ain't just the enemies of Yahuwah that we see with our eyes. It's also the ones we don't see. Howbeit, because of this, by this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemies of Yahuwah to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto you shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and Yahuwah struck the child that Uriah's woman bore unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought Elohim for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. and the child died 7 days. Seven. Completion. Seven. The seventh day. The 7 days of the Feast of Matzah. The 7 days of the Feast of Sukkot. Count seven Shabbats. The Feast of Shavuot. Seven. Where do you think they get numerology from? Where do you think they got gematria from? And then through those chapters, when the Most High said he was going to raise up evil, he raised up his children, his sons, against the women of his own house. So Absalom's sister was raped by their half-brother, Amon. And this is what he did. He did the same curse that David did. He told one of his servants, or he told one of his half-brothers, to tell that he was very sick. This way he played the I'm sick thing. So he told him I was sick. He told him to tell Tamar, Absalom's sister, blood sister, that he was sick and to bring and dress him meat. And it got back to David, and David told Tamar, hey, go see your brother and dress him meat. So he was only going to eat meat from her hand. So she went to his house, dressed the meat, cooked for him, made cakes. And then he tried to kiss her. And Tamar told him, don't do this thing because it's evil in the sight of Yahuwah. But his lust burned for her. His lust burned for her. And he took her and he laid with her. And after he laid with her, he was disgusted with her. He hated her. He didn't even want to be around her. And she told him, like, what you kicking me out is almost worse than what you just did to me. He said he didn't care, kicked her out and bolted the door. And then Absalom waited 2 years for recompense and then killed him. I'm telling you, that type of understanding and knowing when the Most High is going to raise up evil, it's going to raise up the same way you tried to secretly raise it up in your own household, either behind his back or in his face, where you think is behind you, you know, behind his back, but he sees everything. And the way he got hit, David, is the same way his children became a testimony and a witness to the Most High's word when he said he's going to raise up evil. It was different when it would have just caused somebody else to rape Tamar. But the way he raised up, the same way David raised up secretly the thought of foolishness to kill Uriyahu to take his wife, I don't know why we even play with the Most High Yahuwah. We keep saying, oh, Satan does this, Satan does that, Satan does this, oh, it's Satan, oh, it's the demonic ruachs. And we do not take into account that the Most High Yahuwah is the one who runs these unclean ruachs, that runs Satan, that runs Mastema, that runs these chief princes of the demons. He's the one that runs them. We've known about this when he dealt with Ahab, when he had a meeting in the heavens and all the angels and all the unclean ruachs came up and he asked, who is going to be a lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab's prophet? And a lying ruach came up. So that means somebody else didn't want to do it. But a lying ruach, a spirit of lying, stood forth and said, I'll do it. Just to get him to go into this battle to be slain. The Most High could have struck him down right there without having him go into battle. But the Most High is going to do it his way. And do it in such a way where it's embarrassing when you read it. You feel bad for the other person. I mean, you don't feel bad, but you be like, damn. The same thing how he did Jezebel. When he told Jezebel, dogs will lick up your blood. He didn't even tell you how you're going to get to that point. He just told you, dogs going to lick up your blood. And it came to the fact that Jehu came and said, throw her down. And she got thrown down by men with no balls. They were castrated. They were eunuchs. They say, throw her down here. They picked her up, tossed her out the window. And that's when her body got licked up, or her blood got licked up by dogs. Now I'm understanding, I refuse to play with the Most High Yahuwah. Back to Proverbs 24:10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, if you say, behold, we knew it not, does not he that ponders the heart consider it? And he that keeps your soul, does he not know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? What we just seen with David and his house. And shall not he render to every man according to his works? So when it says in verse 11, if you forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death. So if you refuse to help someone that you know that is in need, you also will be rejected when you are in need. If you reason with yourself like, oh, I can't help this person, knowing that they need help and you don't do it and you have the ability to do it and you don't do it, the day will come when you will need help and the Most High is not going to help you. He's going to do the same thing according to your work. So if you make it a point to give alms knowing that in the back of your mind, that we are put here as light upon these other nations. So if you have the ability to help, if you have the ability to save, and you know you have that ability, just do it. Because you don't know when you will need this type of saving. You don't know if you will need a couple of dollars. You don't know if you will be on the street or homeless or close to being homeless or close to being evicted. You don't know. And this doesn't just go for your relatives, the people that you can easily help because you know them. It could be good for complete strangers. Sometimes it could be your enemies. Will you have the compassion to help your enemies when you know they are suffering and it has nothing to do with you at that time? My son, eat honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to your taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto your soul when you have found it. Then there shall be a reward, and your expectations shall not be cut off. Lay not in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place, for a just man falls seven times and rises up again. Almost the same thing that's talked about when Yahusha said it in the New Testament. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles. Lest Yahuwah see it and displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. So this is why I was even more adamant about when my enemies go through these little humiliation rituals that I don't gloat or boast over them. But I talk in a way that I'm stern and I'm upset that this is what they do in order to convince the nation of Yasharel and all those who are following them that it's no small thing. So I used to laugh, and every time I post things about celebrities, I used to use emojis, laugh and joke and ha ha ha. Everything I said was laugh out loud. I don't do that as much anymore. When they fall, when they stumble, I was like, this is why they're stumbling. This is why they're falling. This is why we need to set our houses in order and not setting our houses based on the images that's been set up over us. Proverbs 30, 1 through 14. The words of Agur, the son of Yaqueh, even the prophecy the man spoke unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukal. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. Again, these are the words I saw when I fell to my knees and told the Most High Yahuwah I was stupid, I didn't know anything. I neither learned wisdom nor had the knowledge of the holy. Who has ascended up into heaven, or who descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is his son's name? If you can tell. Every word of Elohai is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add not unto his words, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. Two things have I required of you. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food convenient for me. This is a man who's saying, I don't know what's his name. I don't know his son's name. I don't know anything. I'm not smart. I don't have knowledge. I don't have wisdom. But let me put my trust in you. Let your word, which is pure, be my shield. Keep me away from vanity and lies. Do not make me a poor man. Do not make me a rich man. Give me just enough for me to be satisfied. Accuse not a servant unto his Adonai, lest he curse you and you be found guilty. There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. This generation. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. This generation. There is a generation how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. This generation. You know, I know some of these women have a hard time lifting up their caterpillar eyelashes, but yeah, this generation. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. This generation. To go back to verse 9 in Proverbs 30, it says, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is Yahuwah, or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my Elohim in vain. Lest I be full and deny you, which is what I talked about in the previous episode. Is if we were given $1 billion in our bank accounts, we would have no cause to call on the Most High Yahuwah. We would thank him, but over time, because of our hardy-mindedness and our desire to fulfill all the things that we didn't get when we had little money, we would forget the Most High Yahuwah. And y'all could say, oh, I wouldn't forget. I would never forget. Yeah. Okay. You put $1 billion in your bank account, you would be on a tear-all throughout this entire world trying to do anything and everything. And you would do it on set-apart days. You would do it on new moon days. You would do it when you're supposed to be fasting. You would do it on Shabbats. You would do, I mean, you wouldn't have that in your mind. And if you, even if you did, you would become corrupted over time because of this money. He said, who is Yahuwah, or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my Elohim in vain? So he's saying, I know me. This is why he said, I am more brutish than any man. He said, if I'm giving too much, I'm going to deny Yahuwah. If I'm giving too little, I know I'm going to steal. Please don't put me in that position. That's what he's saying. And this is the prayer that you as men can take to the Most High Yahuwah. Even if you're looking for a woman to cover, plead your case with him. He knows exactly what's in your heart. If you say, if you give me a woman of this world, she may have the ability to lead me astray, or I might be frustrated with her because she doesn't want to leave this world behind. If you give me a woman that's too far ahead of me, she will be looking at me as if she wanted to rule over me. And she's too far ahead of me spiritually. She may be looking to overrule me. And I don't know if I can take that instruction. I don't know if I'll be able to follow her because she is a woman. Bring somebody into my life that's going to be a comfort for me so we can walk together. That is the prayer. The Most High knows exactly what you want and need before you even speak it out of your mouth. But you first have to have it come into your thoughts. It has to come into your heart that this is what you truly want. Not foolishness, but your heart. Now, I looked at over, again, this whole Carmelo Anthony crime scene. And more pictures were posted. One from the New York Post I saw that showed that this man's jacket, the coach that said he wrapped Austin Metcalf in, had all these blood stains on it. Yet when you see the video, the arrest video of Carmelo Anthony, you see no blood stains, not one. And I know they trying to hide this information from coming out, because when I started talking about it on my TikTok, they cut the audio off, especially how it was connected numerology through Carmelo Anthony, the basketball player. The same thing I told you about this case before. And when they showed his hands, one picture of his hands, they had one little spot of blood. Mind you, when they showed you the knife, when I said it had no blood on the knife, I had to look closer. It was no blood around the knife. It looked like he placed the knife, not even dropped it. He looked like he placed the knife on the ground and the blood was still over on top of it. And when you see the gash, it's a pretty big gash. Now, mind you, we don't know if this is the real body of Austin Metcalf. It could be just some random body that they, or from random forensic picture that they got out of the files of some case that happened eons ago. But that's what they showed us. They showed this very big gash. And it's no way in the world that enough, that it would be small amounts of blood that ever one drop would just touch his finger. And then when I seen the video of his arrest, you don't see that spot of blood anymore. So it was just odd. And then they showed the surveillance footage of the school at the stadium. Well, it was at a stadium, not a school. But they showed you the stadium, the security cams. And you just see him push him. And then all of a sudden, you see this dude, you see him run off. You see him run off, then come back. Now, if you stab somebody and you know you stab somebody, you think you pretty much killed him. Fam, you duck off and run and you keep running. Yet the people that are around them, no one brought out their phones. You don't see not one cell phone footage of Carmelo Anthony running away or coming back. No one took their phone to chase him down and say, oh, this guy killed Austin Metcalf. This guy. You don't see any of that. You don't see any of these kids acting hysterical. You just see him push him. And that's it. Now, we don't know who those kids were underneath that tent. But you see so many people walking in front of the track and field, in the infield of the track. And yet no one stops. No one turns. No one's hearing any shrieking or anything. No one, like, it's just an odd case. And that's why I know it's fake. And then I investigated it further of the high school that Carmelo Anthony went to. He went to Centennial High School. Their mascot is the Titans. And they took their same logo from the Tennessee Titans, that sword. So he already had like a little knife on his book bag, which already is the programming today and the conditioning that they want y'all to see. So when they showed you the crime scene photos, the book bag, the marker for it, the number marking for it was the number 6. That's already a telltale sign. The colors of his high school are red and blue. Red and blue make purple. Numerology 444 equals purple, also equals Masonic and Lucifer in the Sumerian cipher. When Jay-Z had it, came out with the album 444, that's what it meant. And then Austin Metcalf's school was the Memorial Warriors. So obviously we're memorializing a warrior because Austin Metcalf was a football player. Their colors were black and gold. Prince Hall Freemason's colors are black and gold. So, of course, when they took him in, you see him with his head shaved, and then they took him to move him another place. Then he got a completely bald head. It was almost like that George Floyd incident, Derek Chauvin. Derek Chauvin took about five mugshots in a matter of months. I don't know why they kept doing it. They put him in orange, then they put him in another color. Then they have him, his face was always changing and moving and all that. It's like, It was just confusion. It was having you to believe that this person was really locked up. And yet they haven't revisited him, nothing. Even during the anniversary, you haven't heard anything from him. So you have to assume, you assume that he's in jail. Derek Chauvin's in jail, or the other police officers are in jail. Why would they jail a ritual? Makes no sense. So what were you about to hear? The same thing we heard about Ghislaine Maxwell and R. Kelly, you'll hear little stories that come out like, oh, he's not adjusting to prison. Oh, he got roughed up in prison. Even the whole Tory Lanez, oh, he got stabbed in prison. None of that happened. They need to tell you to make you believe that these people are in prison for completing a ritual. This race baiting ritual. And I said this before, the reason why they released this mess after the verdict was over, when they could have released it earlier, is because they knew it was, the court of opinion was going to tear it down and it was going to have glitches in it. People are already saying there's glitches in it. They said that the surveillance footage was doctored or it was cut certain ways. So you're missing certain parts of it. But when I watched it, you really couldn't see nothing from the surveillance footage of it. But it made no sense for surveillance footage to ever be at a track meet, especially the angle in which they showed it. Didn't make any sense. So anyway, I wanted to get that out there because I know I talked about it yesterday. One of the things that came to my mind when I was reading Jubilees 15, 26 through 29 was, are the angels also circumcised? It says, and everyone that is born, the flesh of whose foreskin is not circumcised on the eighth day, belongs not to the children of the covenant which Yahuwah made with Abraham, but to the children of destruction. Nor is there moreover any sign on him that he is Yahuwah's, but he is destined to be destroyed and slain from the earth, and to be rooted out of the earth, for he has broken the covenant of Yahuwah Elohanu. For all the angels of the presence and all the angels of sanctification have been so created from the day of their creation. And before the angels of the presence and the angels of sanctification, he has sanctified Yasharel that they should be with him and with his holy angels. Huh. So did the Most High create the angels to already be circumcised? In that matter, why didn't he also create us to be just circumcised? If he created the angels circumcised? Or was this all a plan to be a witness and a testimony for us to be circumcised, to have us set apart from the other nations, to show how we were clean and holy versus the unclean and the unholy? I'm really trying to understand this. It says, do you command the children of Yasharel and let them observe the sign of this covenant for their generations as an eternal ordinance, and they will not be rooted out of the land? So does this mere small little act of snipping the skin and pulling it back, removing the foreskin, for us to not ever be rooted out of the land because we were obedient to the Most High Yahuwah? Now, mind you, they do this in hospitals whenever, you know, they ask the parents, and they don't do it on the eighth day. Sometimes they do it like a couple days after. But they do it and we don't even know why they do it. And some parents tell the doctors, I don't want my child circumcised. But you have to also think the Ruach, the generational curses, the prophecies. When the Most High said he wants to root out the people of the land, is this also part of it? Is this is how he's separating us in something that we think is just a small act? Is much bigger than bigger in the eyes of Yahuwah. I mean, the angel of the presence, the angels of sanctification, these are a different class of angels that are around the children of Yasharel to make sure they are sanctified. You remember the story of Moshe when his father-in-law told him not to circumcise one of their sons? And when he went back to Egypt, an angel was going to come down with a sword in his hand and destroy that child. And Zipporah had to pick up a rock real quick and uncircumcise the child on the spot. We ain't going to see this today, but the Most High has allowed certain things to happen because he has already given his orders of who's going to be separated, who's going to be clean, who's going to be unholy, who's going to be unclean, who's going to be unholy, who's going to be in the land, who's going to be rooted out of it. So this is why I truly, when we think about the promised land, the real land being Africa, and we have so many African tribes in that land, I know most of those African tribes are uncircumcised. So when it comes to getting rooted out of the land, they're all going to go. This is just, that's why I don't feel sorry for whatever happens in Africa most times. I don't, because it's not our people. Just because they have the same skin color as us don't make them our people. So when you hear travesty, especially when you hear Nigerian Christians or Nigerian Muslims or any African Muslim or any African Christian getting destroyed. Fam, I mean, that's prophecy. They need to be rooted off our land bit by bit. The Most High is dealing with these other nations. He knows why he's dealing with them. And we get upset because things happen in Africa and we so connected to a color rather than connected to nation. For the command is ordained for a covenant that they shall observe it forever among the children of Yasharel. I'm thankful that my parents, really it was my mom, wanted me circumcised. Thankful to be part of this covenant. And I'll leave you with this blessing of Yehuda, Jubilees 31, 18 through 20. And to Yehuda, he said, may Yehuda give you strength and power to tread down all that hate you. A prince you shall be, and one of your sons over the sons of Yaakov. May your name and the name of your sons go forth and traverse every land and region. Then shall the other nations fear before your face, and all the nations shall quake. And all the peoples shall quake, and in you shall be the help of Yaakov, and in you be found the Yeshua of Yasharel. And when you sit on the throne of your honor, of your righteousness, there shall be a great peace for all the seed of the sons of the beloved. Blessed be he that blesses you, and all that hate you and afflict you and curse you shall be rooted out and destroyed from the earth and be accursed. The uncircumcised, rooted out. Those that hate us, rooted out. Those who afflict us, root it out. This is why it says the Gentiles need to cleave to the house of Yaakov, because it's going to be a cleaning of the house, a purging of the house, or a purging of the branches before that great and terrible day of Yahuwah Elohaka and his son Yahusha HaMashiach coming back to exact vengeance and recompense for all they done to the children of Yaakov. Just like he told Moshe and Aaron to step back a little bit for I consume this people in a moment because of their disobedience, he's going to do that with us. He's going to tell Yasharel and the called out assembly Gentiles to step back a little bit so I can consume these people, the disobedient, the reprobates, for a moment until we get everything back into order. So start setting your houses in order. Stop thinking about foolishness. Stop trying to be secretive about your sin. Stop dwelling in the victimhood or the weak nature of your mind. And start fortifying yourself the hedge about you. If you are a coverer of a woman and children, start acting and walking and being a coverer of women and children.